Hollywood, NBC brings you Hedda Hopper. Hedda Hopper, who daily reports to 30 million readers in America and 8 foreign countries, now reports to you on the air. Here is Hedda Hopper's Hollywood, from the desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine. And here she is, Hedda Hopper.
Hello, everybody. Look over my shoulder while I write my column. We'll have news about famous people here in Hollywood and elsewhere. We'll have personal visits with Dinah Shaw, Victor Mature, and Richard Widmark, plus the one and only Mary Garson. Okay, let's go. Mario Lanza goes to Washington to sing at a party for President Truman December the 14th. When Vice President Barkley, who's hosting the party, called with the invitation, he asked Mario to sing the two songs he'd heard him sing on this show 2 weeks ago. Fred Astaire's stepson, Peter Potter, who's just 21, is already training at Fort Ord. He's been in the Army 3 weeks. When I started this show 2 months ago, it was my intention to present the best side of Hollywood. However, that didn't include the omission of constructive criticism, without which no individual, family, institution, or industry can progress or remain for long in good health. That's why I included a spot on which members of the industry could air their views. Last week, Betty Davis and I discussed the star system, the rights of stars and studios and their professional relationship. It stirred up a tempest in a teapot. Though for the sake of discussion, Betty and I took pro and con sides, a few sensitive or guilty souls decided to see only the cons. Only one studio executive called it destructive criticism. Neither Betty nor I were passing lasting judgment, but simply airing viewpoints on a problem that has long beset the industry. Now, as a point of fairness, I invite any studio head to appear here and discuss either side of this question. That's the American way and the right way. Hal Wallace, producer, has writers working in secret on a picture with a Chinese background and a tinge of communism. In Washington, it looks as though a deal is being made in the Korean crisis designed to prevent war and save face. The United States is under heavy pressure from all sides to recognize the Chinese Reds. A few weeks ago, one of the world's great theaters, the Palladium Theater in London, was jam-packed for an annual event. The Royal Variety Command performance, where the top entertainers of Britain put on a top show for their king and queen. This year, two Americans got a special invitation, Dinah Shaw and Jack Benny. For Dinah, this was quite an unusual honor because Dinah was the first American girl ever asked to perform at this traditional English occasion. I saw Dinah a day after she came back. She was recording. I finally found the right door, and when I walked through, I wasn't surprised to see the lack of Ehrman or Tierra, just Dinah in a gingham dress back at work.
How was it, Matt? How'd it sound?
Well, Dinah, just a couple of things fixed.
Want me to do it again?
Yeah, well, the trombone sounded like it gurgled in there for a minute. Let her take it straight through again to the beginning.
All right, and let her go. No!
Together we were happy, apart we fell. this loneliness is driving me mad.
For you, I gather. Poor Dinah.
Nothing but flops.
Never mind the jokes, Edith. My first for RCA Victor, and it's got to be good.
I hear the King of England's favorite with you is none other than Dinah itself.
You know the older generation.
Oh, thanks for the flattery. How about Princess Margaret?
Oh, Hedda, she's wonderful. They all are, but Princess Margaret is so up to date. She had heard my latest album before I'd heard it myself.
Now, how was that possible?
Well, I sent it to her, of course. The records of Call Me Madam had I finished recording them just before I caught the plane for London, and I carried them in my hot little hand, sent them over to Buckingham Palace, and when I saw her, she had heard them.
Yes, and I hear you've heard from Irving Berlin.
Oh, yes, I was really excited about that.
And he wants you to play the Ethel Merman role in the national company of Call Me Madam.
How about that?
Dinah, which of the songs you sang over there at the play did they like best?
Oh, they kind of liked, So Nice to Have a Man Around the House.
I think so, too. I wish I had one. And I'm not at all surprised that the English women find them useful, too.
Oh, Hedda, you know, it was really a trip. The thrill of my life. I wish you could have shared it with me.
Well, you can, at least a part of the thrill.
How?
You can sing that song for me.
You really want me to?
Are you kidding?
All right. Come on, boys. Back me up.
Sure, Dad.
It's so nice to have a man around the house. Oh, so nice to have a moon around the house. Someone sweet and glad he found you, who will put his arms around you and his sister just astound you. It's so nice. Oh, a house is just a house without a man. It's a necessary evil in your plan. Someone kind who knows your treasure. Any simple little pleasure, like a full-length mate to cover last year's blouse. It's so nice to have a man around the house. It's so nice to have a man around the house. Oh, so nice to have a man around the house. Just a guy in pipe and slippers who will share your breakfast skippers and will help you zip your zippers. Nice. Oh, a house. It's a house without a man. He's a necessary evil in your plan. So put no one else above him when you love him, really love him. So it's true to one, you'll wind up with a louse. It's so nice to have a man around the house. So nice. So nice.
Yes, Dinah Shore was the first American girl to appear at the Variety Command performance, but I'm sure in the future there'll be many others, with such a lovely ambassadress leading the way. Paula Goddard went immediately to Palm Springs after returning from New York to rest. Now she'll go to Acapulco to rest up from Palm Springs. Cy Howard will be there too, but neither of them will admit they'll marry during their resting period. The Sam Goldwyns expect their first grandchild next summer, and are they excited? Eddie Robinson tells me that a member of our government has asked him to entertain our troops in Korea during the holidays. Billy Rose will just continue writing his columns to devote all his time to television. Bill Lundigan played a minister in I'd Climb the Highest Mountain. He's been traveling with the picture a month and a half and stopped off in Cincinnati by invitation to address the National Council of Churchwomen. Shelley Winters is being accused of acting up again. She's not. But she's against the changes made in her picture with John Garfield after she started it. The rewrite makes her part very different from the one she signed to do. So she's in a spot. If she fights back, she'll be called temperamental. And if she doesn't, she'll come out the worst heavy of the year. In a few hours, I'll have the honor of introducing at the Wilshire Eagle Theater one of the most vital, fabulous opera stars of this century. She's at present on a lecture tour of America. And she'll also hear and encourage new singers who will become the opera stars of tomorrow. Then she returns to her home in Aberdeen, Scotland. I ask her what she's found so far on this tour. And here she is to answer, Miss Mary Garden.
Well, Hedda, I haven't found as many voices as I had hoped. But so many wonderful young people, so eager, so much in love with music. Here in the United States, what is needed is a chance for development. A chance for young voices to train in opera itself. Because the voice is never made in a studio. It's made on the stage by the public. Here in the United States, there are only two opera houses. In France, there are 20. And it isn't because Americans don't like opera. Oh, no, Hedda. A little while ago, I had one of the most exciting experiences of my life. I watched the opening of the Metropolitan on television. Not one of those little postage stamps, but on a big, big screen so you could see. And it was wonderful. I mean, the whole thing. The reaction. The delight of a whole new audience. Not excitement about opera. New excitement about opera. Just as radio brought the excitement of good music to millions. So there is the future. The birth of new thousands of opera lovers who may well grow to demand opera for their own community. And don't worry, with the new audiences will come the new neighbor. Oh, there is a future, all right. A wonderful future. And by golly, I intend to stay around and see it.
Mary Garden. Oh, you brought so much joy to the world. And is there anything finer than encouraging young singers and seeking finer music to bring more joy to a world that so badly needs it? And to prove what a topsy-turvy world we're living in, while Christmas carols are being sung in Hollywood's Santa Claus Lane, in our Los Angeles public schools, 3,000 instructors are making plans to teach students atom bomb defense drills. Bing Crosby lunched the entire Notre Dame football team yesterday at Paramount. When the studio wanted to show the boys his new picture, Bing said, "Oh, no, we can't do that. They're our guests." So they saw Let's Dance with Betty Hutton and Fred Astaire instead. Gary Cooper leaves for New York on the 18th. He'll pick up his wife and daughter Maria, and they'll all go to Florida. Then he flies to Cuba for a visit with Ernest Hemingway. Anne Baxter gives a thrilling performance in All About Eve, but her golf-loving father couldn't believe she'd really make the grade until he walked on her studio set and she introduced him to Ben Hogan. Irene Reitzman's father is doing his best to keep his daughter from marrying Kirk Douglas. Not that he doesn't like him, he does. He's just a dim actors. There's a stock question everyone asks the stars. What do you consider your best picture? And the answer seldom makes news. Why? Because it's too hard for a star to decide. But the other day, I got a couple of answers and nothing flat. And they did make news. The stars not only had their minds made up, they picked the same picture. The stars of that picture were Victor Mature and Richard Widmark.
And in the 20th Century Studio Commissary, over a cup of coffee, they explained their selection.
Well, we had the boys run it off for us again in a projection room, Hedda, to make sure we still agree. That's what we're doing here.
Yeah, a two-man fan club. Hadn't seen it for 8 months.
The kiss of death, eh, fellas? Dick, I thought you might have named your latest The Halls of Montezuma.
Well, I guess I'm the loyal type. I'm sticking to the picture that gave me my first break.
And for me, I think it's the best dramatic part I've ever had.
Okay, then, Kiss of Death it is. Mr. Lipsky, who wrote it, sold his new novel, People Against O'Hara, to the movies, too, you know.
Well, I hope it's as good as The People Against Widmark.
Oh, what?
In Kiss of Death. Don't you remember how nasty I was?
Of course I remember. The killer with the laugh. You know, you gave me a nightmare. And you weren't so nice either, Mature.
Oh, but there were reasons, Hedda. Remember his kids? And sure, him. He played a big, tough guy, Nick Bianco. Tough. But with kids?
No matter who you are, you love your kids more than anything else. Even more than your own self-respect. Yeah, even guys like Nick Bianco. Maybe sometimes the kids grow up to know what kind of a guy it was loving them. Maybe they don't. But the father don't grow any. He just loves them all the time, whether he's worth being loved back or not. Yeah, I was Nick Bianco. And once I met a guy on a train. The guy's name was Tommy Udo. He talked a lot, but not about kids.
Well, you know, I just remembered something. It's my birthday. Yeah, today.
Congratulations.
No kidding. I tell you something, big man. I never spent a birthday with a better guy. When I seen you spit in that judge's eye, I said to myself, a buddy, a stand-up guy.
You talk too much, Tommy.
In front of these switch? A couple of dopey cops that don't even know they're sitting here. Come on, cheer up, big man. It's my birthday party. We get a CC tonight.
That's us, Hawker. Maybe the switch will introduce you to the warden.
Yeah, maybe he's baked the birthday cake.
Yeah, on a ride to Sing Sing, I met him. I was on my way up for burglary. On my way up for 20 years. A guy like Tommy Udo, he had friends. He got out. Well, I had friends too, but do you think they played ball, helped me? Do you think they took care of those kids of mine? Those kids. With a father in jail for 20 years. Well, I had to see them. I had to get out some way to take care of them. So I played ball with the cops. I turned squealer. I turned stool pigeon.
I dealt with a squealer situation once. That's the kind of thing I like. Of course, I made a mistake. The guy I thought was a squealer, his name don't matter. He got away. But his mother didn't. She was in a wheelchair. I pushed her down the stairs.
Yeah, you guessed it. You could see it coming like I could. Tommy found out his mistake. He found out who the real squealer around town was. I was on parole. I could only stay out as long as I worked for the cops. And Tommy was after me. I did everything I could. I even ratted on him for another one of his killings, but they couldn't make it stick. They couldn't lock him up. All he wanted was me. And all I wanted was my kids to be safe. So there was only one way out. Yeah, only one way out.
Too late to eat, Mr. Wicklow's up at 12.
I'm looking for Tommy Udo.
There he is, boy. Wait, a big man. My hair. See that, Luigi? They tell me you've been looking for me.
I had to talk to you, Tommy.
Go on, talk. I'm listening.
To you, not these characters.
Oh, you lousy stupid. Who asked you anything? My pair wants to talk to me. Go on, beat it. Just a couple of squids trying to hang around big men like you and me. Okay, pal, what's on your mind?
I gotta square myself with you, Tommy.
There's nothing to square. You're my pal. You're smart, too. I didn't know how smart till I seen you in court. You fooled me. And that takes a big man.
Yeah, big man.
Play it straight, Tommy. I squealed on you. You got a right to be sore. What are you going to do about it?
I ain't going to do nothing. You did nothing to me. They acquitted me, didn't they? Who cares what she did except a lot of squits? We're going right on being pals, you and me. We're going to have some fun together. Lots of fun, just like we used to. You got a wife and kids, ain't you, pal?
Yeah.
They're going to have some fun, too. I'm going to enjoy meeting you, pal.
Lay off of them, Tom.
Why, huh? Kids like to have fun. We'll all have fun together. You and me and your wife and your kids. From now on, lots of fun.
I'm telling you, lay off of them.
Is that all you got to say to me?
Okay. Okay, I hope you'd listen to reason. But if you want trouble, you're going to get it. Leave me and my family alone, or maybe I ain't through seeing.
Whatever, Tail. I'm clean. They can't try me twice on the same rap.
But maybe I know some other tunes. When we were together, you told me a lot of things. Yeah, you got your eyes full of smoke and talk. You talk plenty, just like the squirt that you are. You talked your fool head off, and I ain't forgetting any of it. You gave me enough to burn you 100 times over, if I can get other witnesses to back me up. Yeah, and you even gave me a pretty good idea where to look for those other witnesses.
But if you are...
You're not carrying anything in your pocket, Tommy. You're dumb, but you're not that dumb. You'd get life if they found a gun on you. Now, just get this. Touch my family, and you'll hear a singing like you've never heard before. Now, beat it. Go peddle your papers. Go on. Go!
Luigi!
Yes, Mr. Yuda. This is my pal, Mr. Bianco. He's a big man, biggest man in town. I want to show him what I think of him. I want you to give him your Deluxe Shore dinner.
Hey, but to Mr. Udo, the kitchen, she's closed.
I can open it, just squirt. Enjoy yourself, big man. Enjoy your dinner. Everything's on me.
Give me Mr. D'Angelo from the DA's office.
Speaking. Who is this, Nick? Tracy's call, son.
Skip it. I told you I'd call you there at the station, and I'm doing it. Look, I'm going to hand you Tommy Udo on a silver platter. I'm going to give him to you the way you want him, with a gun in his hand. He just left me a second ago.
Where?
Luigi's, 125th, practically around the corner. You can make it in less than 2 minutes. Now, come in both ends of the street, and don't use any sirens.
Nick, wait a minute.
2 minutes, I said. No later than that. And not any sooner.
Have your dinner ready in a few minutes. It's a nice night out there, eh, mister? Hey, can't you hear me? Hey. Hey, what's the matter with you? Ain't you gonna wait for your dinner?
Eat it yourself. Well, you waited for me. Surprise.
Sure, big man. Surprise. Just stand still. Okay, boys, let him have
Tommy, wait. What's the matter? You turned yellow? You used to do your own shooting.
I said let him have
it. You're a yellow. That's what you are, you dirty yellow trick.
Give me that gun, you squirt. I'll tell you.
Great Tommy, you don't turn yellow.
Come on, you squirt.
Yeah. That was the answer. The only answer, maybe, for guys like us, the kiss of death, to stop the killer, to stop the squealer, the kiss of death to give my kids a chance at life.
happening in our town, too. It could happen in yours. This big, sprawling topsy of the desert has fallen victim to a disease that raged in Chicago, New York, Kansas City, and other large cities. I'm talking about gangsterism. Capone in Chicago, Dutch Schultz in Manhattan, rackets. For the past year, we've been under the spell of a little fellow, the shoulders of whose suits contain more padding than a bureaucrat's expense account. He gets more headlines than movie stars, big black headlines. He takes the columnist to expensive nightclubs. He borrows money from the head of a bank. He's become a byword in the city of the angels. And to our eternal shame, a hero to many. His name? Mickey Cohen. He's surrounded by a gang whose police records read like a serial. But slowly we're coming to our senses. A crime commission from Washington, D.C. is here now, leading us out of the abyss. But the shame of it all, however, is that it has to happen. There must be a reason. There is. And that's where you come in. If ever there was a time when Americans should be alert to conditions in their own backyard, as well as in foreign lands, it's today. How can we lead the world to peace if we can't even control those in our own city? Law enforcement in any community is no better than the citizens thereof. If you don't care, who does? So don't spend all your time feeling sorry for us. Look about you. There may be Mickey Cohens in your town, too. And you'd better start early with your flip guns. These babies are mighty tough to handle when they spread their wings.
Next week, NBC will again bring you Hedda Hopper with news of the stars and the stars that make news. There'll be an argument about murder mysteries with Howard Duff of Universal, an important statement from the president of the Motion Picture Association of America, Eric Johnson, a singing visit with Carmen Miranda, and a dramatic highlight with MGM's Keith Frizzell and starring Ida Lupino.
Good night, everybody.
And make a day for next Sunday for Hedda Hopper's Hollywood. From the ringside seat, the desk by the window, looking right down on Hollywood and Vine. The Hedda Hopper Show is an FMB production directed by Gil Faust with music by Frank Wirt. This is Jack Moyle bidding you good night.
This program was transcribed. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.